As we continue to allow the Christmas season to unfold, as I said at the beginning of Mass, we have these feasts during the Christmas season that return us back to the Christmas story, the Christmas account, Christmas feast, and look at it from a different angle. And so today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. So who are the Holy Family? Let's start off with that, very basic. My friends, Holy Family are Mary, the mother of God, Joseph, her husband, foster father of Jesus, gathered around the Christ child, Jesus, the Son of God. You can imagine them almost right here with the manger, gathered around Jesus. And the church, in her prayers for the Mass this weekend, points our attention to focus on the virtues of family life that we can learn from Mary, Joseph, and Jesus about what it means to have a holy family. Now, as you heard from all of our readings and the prayers, there are almost like dozens of virtues just listed in the readings. So we could pull from all over the place and explore tons of virtues of family life. But for this Mass, I just want to focus on three little reflections. And instead of me just preaching this and just having it be kind of like just a big sermon, homily, allow this to be a prayer. Almost a mini retreat in the middle of Mass. Think about your own family. Think about your life. And allow these brief three reflections to be a prayer in your heart. We each need to grow in the virtues that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus display for us. So let's ask that God the Father give us those virtues. Reflection number one. We have in our gospel today Saint Joseph highlighted. He is the one who hears the voice of the angel in his dream and then immediately acts on it. I think the first thing in this first reflection we can focus on is Joseph's attentiveness to the voice of God within him. He knows how to be silent. He knows how to listen for the voice of God and then move on that voice. If you ever wondered, how do we lead our families? How do we protect our families? How do we know how to guide them? My friends, Joseph displays first and foremost how to do that. It is an attentiveness, inner attentiveness, in silent prayer to the voice of God. That is how we lead our families. So my brothers, men, all ages, do we do this? Do we take time every single day to listen to the voice of God inside us in prayer? This is how we lead our families. This is how we allow the Lord to guide our lives individually. And then if we are privileged to be the head of a household, this is how we lead, we guide, in a way that is most effective, most protective of our families, to be interiorly attentive to the voice of God. But ladies, I'm not going to leave you out of here. So in Matthew's gospel, we focus on Saint Joseph. He's kind of the main actor, main character. If we turn to the gospel of Luke, which is what we normally think of when we think of the infancy narratives, Jesus in the manger, Mary is the main actor there. And what does it say many times in that gospel? That Mary, when she saw all these things happening, she pondered them in her heart. It is the same disposition that Joseph has, the interior attentiveness to the word of God in order to guide her family. So ladies, my sisters, same question. Do you do this? Are you interiorly attentive to the word of God? And ponder the good things the Lord has done for you in your heart in order to protect, guide, and lead your families, to allow your life to be led by God. And I often think, when I think of silence, whether for men or women, for all of us, I think of a little quote by G.K. Chesterton, where when we think of silence, and people are like, Father, it just doesn't work. And I sometimes wonder if, instead of it not working, we found it hard and left it untried. We actually need to give ourselves to silence, to actually try for a long period of time to be silent, a period of days. My friends, take the example of Saint Joseph and Mary. Go inside yourself to be with the Lord and to listen to his voice in silence. Our second reflection comes out of the context of our gospel today. So, what is happening in our gospel that makes Joseph, Mary, and Jesus flee from Bethlehem to go to Egypt? Well, we hear kind of the surrounding parts of the story, but to flesh it out a little bit. So Herod, the king of Judea, is a very jealous man of his kingdom. In fact, if you go to non-biblical sources, he killed many members of his family for even approaching his throne. He would kill them on the spot if he just sensed that they were going to try and overthrow him. So he hears from these men from the east, the Magi, that a new king is born somewhere in Bethlehem. And he tricks them and says, go find this child, this new king, and come back to me. I want to worship him as well. But with the full intention, I'm going to kill this child, this usurper, possibly usurper of my throne. And the Magi, these men who are, like Saint Joseph, attentive to the word of God in their hearts, are warned in a dream not to return there, and they depart by another way. Herod is furious. And so instead of searching out the child and like just killing the one baby, he decides to kill every child, every male child in Bethlehem under the age of two, a massacre. That is what Joseph, Mary, and Jesus are fleeing from, a massacre. So we have in our gospel Joseph being the protector of his family and taking them to Egypt as a place of refuge. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear Egypt, I think a place that is slavery. I think of the Exodus. We're supposed to leave Egypt. We're supposed to get out of there. But in fact, doing some research on this, there are so many instances in the history of Israel where the people of Israel, the Jews, would flee to Egypt as a place of refuge. Egypt would equal, in their minds, a place of safety, a place of refuge. So my friends, our world today, our culture, can assault our families. It can damage our families. It may not be Herod doing a massacre necessarily, but there are elements in there of our culture that can damage our families. Where is our Egypt? Where is our place of refuge? My friends, it is the church. It is the Catholic Church. It is that place of refuge that we need to pull ourselves into, to go under. It is a place of safety, to remain close to the Lord. Just think about it. We have, at every Mass, we have the privilege to receive Jesus. We have in the sacrament of reconciliation the chance to heal relationships, to allow the grace of God to come into us, to heal, to reconcile. We have a community around us to lift us up, support us in so many ways. The church is our refuge. And yes, in the church, it's not easy. Let's just face it, it's not easy. But it is our Egypt, our place that we need to flee to remain in safety. Remain in the church. Remain in the safety of what God, the gift God has given to us. And third and last reflection, and it's one that I feel like I've been praying on for the last couple weeks, and I was very excited that I get a chance to talk to you all about this. So there's a weird prophecy at the end of the gospel. It says that that Joseph, Mary, and Jesus stayed there until the death of Herod. They went to the town called Nazareth, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. And the prophecy is this: he shall be called a Nazarene. I've heard that many times. I'm sure many of you have as well. Here's the rub. There is no prophecy anywhere in Scripture that says that Jesus will be from Nazareth. No prophet says this. Nowhere in Isaiah, Jeremiah, nowhere in the prophets does it say that Jesus will come from Nazareth. So what are we supposed to make of this? The word Nazarene in Hebrew literally means sprout or branch. So let's ponder, you know, as Joseph and Mary did, what could this mean? I'd like to turn your attention back to a reading we had from Isaiah earlier in Advent. And we hear this in chapter 11. A shoot or branch shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and a spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. This prophecy in chapter 11 of Isaiah, this stump, the sprout that comes from the stump of Jesse, was a messianic prophecy. This will, one day, a sprout or branch will sprout from this stump, this tree of Jesse, and this will be the Messiah. So once again, to put ourselves into the mindset of the first Christians, the Jews hearing this message, they hear, he shall be called a Nazarene. He shall be called the branch. And their minds go, ah, yes, of course. This baby, this child, is the Messiah, the one promised us, the Savior. It's amazing. From the first couple pages of Matthew's Gospel, we have such a clear image. This child is the Son of God. All right, so I just love that insight. I just think it's amazing that we have this kind of hidden in the Gospel right from the beginning. But what does this mean for us today? My friends, if we look at this image, think about the image of a branch and the shoot and the stump. Imagine the stump. A stump is something dead, right? It is not living. It's been chopped down. And as we are here reflecting on family life, I know that for many of us, family life can be a place of pain and suffering. It's not always pleasant. It's not always a place of refuge. And my friends, we can think that stump is dead. And even if it's not our family life, you just think, zoom out a little bit and look at our own lives. There are parts of our lives that can seem like a dead stump. This thing is broken. This thing is dead. This part of my life is chopped down. Nothing can ever come out of this. This is irreconcilably broken. And what the Lord is telling us in this image, that from a dead stump, the tree of Jesse, the stump of Jesse, where King David came from, which they thought was chopped down, from that dead thing, God can bring forth new life. From that dead stump, the Son of God comes. So what does this mean for us? Whatever that stump is in your life or your family's life, if you surrender it to God, give it to Him, He can bring new life out of it. I can't promise you, I can't tell you what that newness will be. Only the Lord knows that. But what He tells us in the prophets, in the gospel, is that if you surrender it to Him, a newness can come out, a sprout, a branch, renewal, refreshment, new life will come forth. For me, during this Advent and Christmas season, this has been one of the great words of hope for me, that in the Lord there is, that the death doesn't win, that what I think is dead and gone is irreconcilably broken, wounded beyond any capacity to heal, the Lord says, no, I can take this and bring new life from it. As we gather around the child Jesus in the manger on this Christmas season with Mary and Joseph, let's ask the Lord to give us these virtues of family life. First and foremost, a listening heart like Mary and Joseph. We need to ask, so we can't do it on our own. Ask the Lord for a listening heart. Let's ask Him for the grace to remain in that place of refuge, the Catholic Church, to know that it is here that we remain in safety under the protection of Christ's Church. And let's also surrender to the Lord the places that are broken in our lives and in our families' lives, to allow the newness of the Lord, the refreshment of the Lord, to break through and bring forth something magnificent and glorious. My friends, if we do this, we allow the grace of God to enter our lives, to renew us, and bring us the joy of the Christian life.